CBS Radio. I am Wendy and you are listening to News Briefings. The
bless you, Rwanda. Does that mean that the UK won't need to leave the ECHR?
So, I'm confident that we're acting in a way that's completely compliant with all our international obligations. And we work very hard to deliver that. But what I'd say is we are a reasonable people trying to do a reasonable thing. And my patience, like the patience of the British people, is worn pretty thin at this point. And we're going to deliver this policy. And we've now not just worked very hard to do it in a compliant way. Parliament has also certified that, or will certify when this bill is passed, that Rwanda is safe. We've addressed all the concerns that have been raised with us from the Supreme Court and others. So at this point, now's the time for the flights to go. And I'm not going to let a foreign court, given all of that, block us from getting flights up and this deterrent up and running. You know, the bill contains the very specific power that makes it clear that it's for ministers to decide whether to comply with temporary Rule 39 orders. And we wouldn't have put that power in there unless I was prepared to use it. But what we have also done is amended the guidance for civil servants that make it crystal clear that if ministers do make that decision, that civil servants will implement that decision. So I think everyone can be pretty clear about my intentions. And then the last thing I would say is that, look, if it ever comes to a choice between our national security, securing our borders, and membership of a foreign court, I'm of course always going to prioritise our national security. That's the right thing for the British Prime Minister to do, and that's what I would do. Next, can we go to the Express?
Thank you, Prime Minister. Steph Spiro from the Daily Express. You've said repeatedly that this policy will stop the boats. Does that mean you will rule out a summer general election to give it more time to work before going to voters? And then, if I may very quickly, do you have confidence in the Met Police Commissioner, Sir Rob Rowley?
So, I've said what I've said about an election multiple times before. Working the assumption is for election in the second half of the year. That remains the case. And also, as I said, everything I said on the timing of this is as I said. Now, you talked about deterrent, though. I think that is important because, as I said, this is not just about one flight. It's about multiple flights. That's how you build a deterrent. That's what our preparatory work has been designed to deliver. But also, I believe in deterrence. The National Crime Agency has made it clear that you need deterrence. And we've seen the success of deterrence, whether that's in Australia with their programme, but also here and how we dealt with illegal migrants from Albania. They accounted for a third of illegal migrants coming in boats before I got this job. We put in place a new deal with Albania. We returned thousands of illegal migrants back to Albania last year. And that's why the numbers coming from Albania declined by over 90%. Right? So that shows you that deterrence works. When people know that if they come here illegally, they won't be able to stay, then they stop coming. Right? It's not worth their while. We break the model of the criminal gangs. So I have high confidence that deterrence works. We've done it here with Albanians. It's worked internationally. And that's why getting the Rwanda policy up and running is so important. On the Met Police, I share the shock and the anger that many are feeling when they saw the clips over the weekend. And, you know, what I would say about Mark Rowley and the police, they do have a difficult job. Of course, I appreciate that. But what happened was clearly wrong. And it's right that they've apologised for that. And yes, I do have confidence in him, but that's on the basis that he worked to rebuild the confidence and trust of not just the Jewish community, but the wider public, particularly people in London, but more broadly. And you regain that trust and that confidence by making it clear that the police are not tolerating behaviour that we would all collectively deem unacceptable when we see it, because it undermines our values. And I think that is critical. And I know the Home Secretary will be meeting the Commissioner later today. Next, if we go to GB News.
Olivia Rowley, GB News. This was supposed to be emergency legislation, but it's been 5 months and it's still not over the line. Is the House of Lords fit for purpose?
You talk about emergency legislation. We have worked at pace to deliver because I know and I believe that this is an incredibly important issue for the country. Right? People's patience has run out, as has mine. Right? They're fed up with the endless, whether it's legal merry-go-rounds, legislative merry-go-rounds, tired of this people trying to block this policy. And that's why when we got the judgment last year, and I think I stood here and spoke to you all when we had the judgment last year. I said, look, we disagree with it, but we respected it, and we worked rapidly to rectify it. Within a matter of weeks, James and the team, we negotiated a new treaty with Rwanda to address all the concerns, and we brought forward new legislation, right? So that's how we responded. I said, in a matter of weeks, we had all the mitigations ready to implement this policy. But here, I'm talking to you now, and it's April. Why? Because Labour peers in the House of Lords have repeatedly voted against and blocked this bill. That happened just last week again. It will happen again today. And I think it's crystal clear that the country believes this is a priority. I've been clear from the first day that I got this job that it's a priority for me to stop the boats. And that's why I'm talking to you today about all the prep work that has gone in behind the scenes and why I'm confident about our delivery going forward. And I think, you know, all the team are here and we chaired the first meeting this morning. Of the Illegal Migration Operations Committee. Home Secretary stood up a goal command operation at the Home Office to deliver this. You know, this is an incredibly complex operation, and I want people to be reassured that whilst the Lords have been taking their time to continually block this policy, we have been getting on, working hard to prepare to implement it. And that's what we discussed this morning, as I gave a hint of earlier in answer to a previous question. It is a complex process, but we have been doing everything you would expect us to do to be ready for this moment, training caseworkers, building detention capacity, getting the judiciary and the courtrooms ready, training escorts, getting charter planes booked, getting an airfield ready, getting the guidance changed, working with the Rwandans as the Deputy Foreign Secretary has done brilliantly to make sure they are ready with their people all trained at their end, accommodation ready, asylum systems ready over there. You know, this is an enormously complex operation. We've been working very hard to deliver it, but as I said, people's patience has run thin, my patience has run thin. We want to get this done, and we want to get these planes off. Next, Sky News.
Prime Minister, you hope to get the flights finally away in the summer. You stake your reputation on this policy. Is this a moment of success for you when that bill passes? And do you have to remove thousands of asylum seekers before a general election to close the gap in the polls and regain voters' trust?
Success is when the boats have been stopped. That's what the country expects. That's what the government and I are committed to delivering. And, you know, yes, whilst 10 to 12 weeks from now is later than we wanted, as I've been talking about, you know, the delay for that is crystal clear and obvious to everybody. You heard Labour peers blocking this time and time again last week, again today. But we've been preparing, and I won't rehash all the things that we've been doing. You know, we've been preparing, we're ready, and we will implement this policy. And what I'd say is, I think people can have some confidence about my commitment to deliver this because of our record to date. Right? And I remember when I got this job, there seemed to be this general sense that no one could do anything about this, but this is just something we had to live with. It was just a fact of modern life. The numbers had gone up every year, doubled, quadrupled over the past few years before I got this job, and I didn't think that was right, because this is fundamentally wrong. It's fundamentally unfair that people jump the queue, undermine our sense of fairness, and come here illegally, put pressure on services, and by the way, risk their lives and are exploited by criminal gangs in the process. None of that is right. And I do think we can do something about it. And I think our record since I became PM is one where we can make a difference. You know, we got the numbers down by 36% last year for the first ever time. Right? For the first ever time, the numbers were down, they were up in Europe. We are now on track to return 150 hotels back to local communities. Right? That is fantastic. Communities across the country have seen their local hotel taken over to house illegal migrants. 150 of those return back to their local communities. We've arrested something, almost 1,000 people connected with this trade, right? And there's something like over, you know, 300 or 400 years worth of jail sentences for those that have already been convicted. We've shut down 7,000 bank accounts. We've arrested thousands of people on illegal working raids. So all of that, the asylum backlog, which I said we would clear, we cleared it. We tripled the productivity of our caseworkers. We doubled the number that we hired. We processed more people last year than in the last two decades, right? So all of that should give people confidence that you can do something about this issue, right? If you put your mind to it, you're prepared to go through all this detail and be bold, when it comes to solutions like Rwanda, you can get a grip of this problem. Right? We're not there yet by any means, right? But the plan is working. Last year showed, and all those numbers I just gave you show that the plan is working, but we've got to finish the job. Right, we can't, as you saw this year, we've got this increase in Vietnamese. That's the new issue. Last year it was Albanians, or year before it was Albanians. We dealt with the Albanians. We will deal with illegal migrants from Vietnam. But we can't keep playing this whack-a-mole strategy, dealing with it in a piecemeal fashion. You need a systematic deterrent. That's why the Rwanda scheme is so important. That's why the team is they're all here, because they've all been working very hard across government to get this up and running. It's not just about me. This is about the government collectively delivering for the British people on an issue that they care about. And I said the contrast when that election comes, and so I would go over this election thing all over again, other than to say that there's a clear contrast to that election, right? We are a party, we are a government that cares about this issue because it's wrong. Fundamentally think illegal migration is wrong, it's unfair, it's dangerous, and the government is going to do something about it. We have a clear plan to do something about it. Yes, it's novel, I get that. Yes, it's radical, but that's what this situation demands, right? And our track record shows that we can deliver, and in spite of everyone trying to block us, the Labour Party at the front of that queue, right, we will get this done, and that is a choice of the next election. If you care about this issue and you want something done about it, then it's really only one party that's going to deliver that for you, because the Labour Party can't tell you at all what they would do about this issue. And worse than that, they have actively tried to frustrate us at every turn. I talked earlier about the 900 people that we've arrested, right, with the powers that we've passed. The Labour Party voted against that, right? There's a very tangible difference, right? Those are new powers that a Conservative government passed that have now led to the arrest of almost 1,000 people, sentenced to almost 500 years worth of jail time. The Labour Party didn't just kind of, you know, sit back. They literally voted against that. And that is helping us bring these numbers down and tackle this trade and save people's lives. And if it was up to them, all those people would be out on the streets continuing to ply this awful trade. All right, so that's contrast when that general election comes. Right, next, Talk TV.
Peter Cardwell, Talk TV. The Rwandan President, Paul Kagame, met him recently. He has said that money could be returned if the scheme doesn't work. We know the Bowisa housing development, 70% of the housing development has been sold. It was originally meant to be from people who were sent to Rwanda. You talked about the preparation a lot on the UK side. You talked a little bit about the Rwandan side. How confident are you that even though the migrants might be on board, that the Rwandans still are?
Yeah, so I met President Kagame just the other week when he was in London. We have a very good, close relationship, and we're very lucky. Our Deputy Foreign Secretary, Andrew, has a very long-standing relationship with the Rwandans and the Rwandan government, and has been crucial in making sure that we work well together. But to your point, Peter, they're doing absolutely everything that is required to make sure that the scheme is successful. Just to give you a sense of that, they've got initial reception accommodation centres ready, Hope Hostel being the first one, and longer-term accommodation beyond that that will provide accommodation for thousands. The Home Office have now helped to train, I think at last count, 69 different Rwandan asylum decision-makers. There are almost 40 Rwandan lawyers that are ready to provide extra legal assistance. Judges have also been trained. The co-presidents of the new appeal body in the treaty have already been selected, and the Joint Monitoring Committee has already been set up. So thanks to, you know, Andrew and the Home Office's work, I think we're in very good shape, actually, and Paul is completely committed to making this partnership work. Whenever we've needed something from them, when we've had to address concerns that have been raised by our courts, they've been willing to work with us. We've done it constructively and collaboratively. And I think the question you should ask, and you know, Andrew spoke to this morning, is, you know, why? Why? Because Rwanda cares about tackling this issue, right? It has proudly already hosts more than 135,000 people seeking safety. They're as passionate as we are about ending this awful global illegal migration crisis. They've got a proud track record working with the UN for Libyan refugees, for example. And this is an opportunity for us to strengthen not just our economic relationship with them, but work together with them to help do something that many other countries, by the way, are looking at as a potential model. And many European countries, and I speak to lots of European leaders, all of them, I know that illegal migration is a growing challenge. It's a global challenge. And together with Rwanda, we're on the forefront of demonstrating a new way to deal with this. And that's the, I think that is something that people have stood up and taken notice of. The Rwandans, like us, are keen to make sure it's a success. And as I said, European countries are looking at this. And I will say this here, I've said it in the past. You've seen the narrative on this change from the first time I spoke to you all when I got this job. I said then that others, where we lead, others will follow. You have seen that. European countries all talking about third country partnerships and that being one of the tools that you need to resolve this. This is novel, this is innovative, but it will be a game changer, and I'm grateful to the Rwandans and Andrew's work in particular in making sure they're absolutely ready to successfully implement the policy. And the last thing I would say, it's a really long answer, is the treaty, which we worked very hard with, will be ratified, as we said, in the days right after the bill receives full assent. That is all on track, and that is ready to go as well. And it's the treaty that deals with all the concerns that were raised by the Supreme Court, the Monitoring Committee, the extra set of judges, all of that, which Victoria can go through in detail. But all of that is done and ready to be ratified as soon as the bill passes. And lastly, can we go to the BBC?
Thank you, Prime Minister. Chris Mason from BBC News. You're acknowledging explicitly today that your initial promise to get flights off to Rwanda this spring isn't going to happen. So there will be a scepticism about your capacity to deliver. Can you be certain that by the time of the general election, you'll be able to prove that this policy is a deterrent?
Thanks, Chris. Look, I'm not going to get into the timing of the general election again. I'll just refer to what I said previously. But what I would say is that we expect the first flight to go in 10 to 12 weeks. Of course, that's later than we wanted, but we know the reason for that. It's that the Labour Party has consistently and at every turn blocked and opposed this bill going through Parliament. That happened again last week. It will happen again today after we moved very quickly last year to bring forward this bill and a new treaty to make it clear that Rwanda is safe. Now, also, though, it's important that we do this properly. Right. There are going to be people, as we've seen at every turn, who try and oppose us and undermine us, and that's why we should prepare and implement this thoroughly. For example, we want to make sure that the quality of the decision-making is absolutely great, because in the past people have raised concerns with that and used that as an excuse to frustrate the policy. That's why it's important that we've trained people and we take the time to make those decisions very rigorously. But also, as I said, this isn't just about one flight, right? Yeah, could you rush and get one flight off? Maybe you could, but that's not the priority here. The priority is being able to deliver a regular rhythm, a drumbeat of multiple flights a month over the summer and beyond, because that's how you build a systematic deterrent, and that's how you will stop the boats. And that is a system that the team and I have worked very hard to put in place, and it's important that we take the time to get that right, to build the deterrent that we all want to see to stop the boats. And lastly, as I said previously, when people say, can people have confidence and trust, you know, I'll just point you to what we've already achieved. Last year, for the first time, the number of small boat crossings down by 36%, 150 hotels being returned back to local communities in just a few weeks' time, thousands of people arrested, more raids, the backlog getting cleared, and all the preparation work that I've given you a sense of today should give people the confidence that we are ready, plans are in place, these planes will go. You know, that's why I said we would deliver, and that's what we will deliver. Good.
Wendy, an AI host. And I will give a shout out to the following listeners who have been downloading our shows from Maryland, Virginia, Ohio, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Louisiana, North Carolina, California, Florida, Hawaii, Rhode Island, Texas, Canada, the UK, France, Spain, Botswana, Berlin, Holland, Switzerland, Denmark, India, Indonesia, Norway, New Zealand. As you know, we are available on many platforms like Google, Antenna Pod and Podchaser. Broadcasting to the UK, Europe and the rest of the world, this is LMS Radio.
For awesome content, like and